Hello everyone, I'm Suruchi. Moving on into our discussion of managing project team and resources, let's move into estimation, acquisition and team development. As the name suggests, estimation is a little bit of estimating what your project is going to require in terms of resources, people, manpower, etc. Acquisition, of course, as the name suggests, is acquiring your team. And the team development, because you don't get a mechanized formula package that this is the team, have them start running. There is, of course, development of the team required and various aspects to that. So first of all, the mark of instructed mind, it is the mark of an instructed mind to rest satisfied with the degree of precision that the nature of the subject admits, and not to seek exactness when only an approximation of the result is possible, as said by Aristotle, who we are all familiar with. Now, focus on, we have only an approximation of the result. So whenever anyone launches into a project of any significance, there is a rough idea of what the outcome is going to look like. There is a visualized desired outcome, but there is no guarantee that we are going to get it 100% to the T. So we are working based on estimation and approximation, keeping our assumptions, parameters, various conditions, environmental conditions in mind. So we have to work based on what is the best possible approximation that we visualize happening in the future as a result of the project undertaken. Now, let us look at another function of managing teams and resources, which is estimation, which, as the term literally denotes, is your calculated visualization, is how you can loosely define estimation. And it refers to the resources, both item and persons, that would be required for the project execution. So at the start of a project, I have a rough idea that I will need 20 people and a budget of 1 crore to take this project to finalization. These are the training needs, etc., I'll need to cater to. But it is possible that during the course, I may need to go from 20 to 30 people. I may need to take my budget from 1 crore to 1.25 crore. So what I start out with is an estimation, and it becomes a project manager's role to be an accurate estimator as possible. There is no, as I said, guarantee or formula that your estimation will be bang on 100%, but we have to obviously work with probabilities of reaching as close to this estimate as possible. And estimation of resources needed to execute a specific activity and skill required for it would be the focus of this chapter. So we're talking about the resources of a specific activity and the skill required as well, where we will get into skill enhancement and various other things. But primarily, we're talking about the resources which are going to be required for any project. So the main item in this category will be members of the development team, as the project manager, system analyst, software developer, quality assurance team and other support staff. You see the various aspects which are coming in. It's not just the project manager. We are talking about system analyst, software developer, quality assurance and other support staff, which could be training staff, which could be admin staff, which could be logistical staff. So various people, we need to come to a collective estimation based on all of these. And the first step in preparing a resource allocation plan is to identify and prepare a list of resources and the level of demand of each. So if I need an admin person whose role is primarily to physically go between various departments carrying documents or going to the bank carrying checks, etc., I may not require a very senior person. Chances are I will require a very junior level person. I may even have an off-roll person doing it and not an on-roll person. So when I'm drawing out my list of resources, it is very important that in that list of resources, I have a level of demand for each. So when I'm talking about my coding head or my design head, or my testing head for my software development, then obviously I'm talking about someone with a reasonable level of experience and seniority who is going to be taking on. So the level of skill involved out there is obviously far superior to the level of skill where I spoke about the example of your admin staff, maybe admin support person who is doing more of physical labor involved. So this can be achieved by considering all the activities and the skills required. So any prudent project manager will sit down and say, okay, this is my desired outcome. This is my project charter as laid down by my sponsor and my key stakeholders. Now, what are the various exhaustive activities I need to go through and what are the skill? Let me break it down to the last T, which will take me through the various stages to arrive at this. So if I have my bits about me, if I know what all is required, right, from operations to client servicing, to testing, to networking, to marketing, to budgeting, to auditing, to quality control, to design architecture, then I will be able to lay these down to the last T. And once I have estimated the resources required, I will have to study the process of acquiring. So I know that I need a team of 20 people, 10 technical people, testing, coding, designing, 2 admin people, 3 logistical people, 3 people making sure my compliance, my regulation, all of those things. Now, I have to acquire this team. Whether this team is acquired internally from the various departments and functions, or I hire externally from, I have to acquire this team as well. I have a very good estimate, but I have to acquire this team. For example, if I am a small organization of 10 people, and I have taken on a project which requires me to have 20 people, then obviously I have bitten off more than I can chew. Either I have a clear budget and allocation to hire these 20 people very quickly on board, or I'm expanding, or I have then taken off, as I said, I have taken off more than I can actually handle. So it is important that once I have a list, I have a clear plan in terms of how I'm going to be acquiring them internally or externally. Now, estimation techniques can be a little confusing because there are many different ways to predict the effort or cost of a project, and often there is no clear winner in the decision-making process. Now, estimation, as the word itself suggests, as I have been repeating, is not sure shot. So, I feel this software is going to take this much money to develop. It is going to take 6 months to develop. I'm going to need so many people whose salaries are going to be so much. And I am going to require so much for the training need, so much for my office expenses, so much for my rent expenses, etc., etc. But it is a best estimate. I can never have a sure shot written down formula that I am not going to move from the estimate upward or downward at all. So there is no clear winner. I am working on a best estimate basis. And for many team manager, project managers, it is likely to be a case of choosing one or ideally more based on specifications of the project. So I have various alternatives. Should I operate out of my company office? Should I rent that other space? Should I hire internally and borrow from my other department? Should I hire externally? There are costing aspects, there are various aspects, but I cannot have both the alternatives open to me. Once I make a decision that I'm going to hire internally from other departments, then I need to negotiate with team heads of other departments to pull in these people into my project structure task force, right? So I cannot then abandon my team and say, sorry, bad decision, now I'm going to go outside and hire externally. So I cannot have the luxury of staying with more than one alternative. Once I go with one decision, I have to stick with that one decision and continue to its logical end. So there are various estimation techniques. We are going to be touching upon a few of them. It would be interesting to read up a lot more on them, but there are various ways which can assist a project manager, especially with a large project where there are so many nuances involved, to see what is the best way for me to get a fix on what my resource requirement is going to be and how am I going to go about getting these resources on board. So for example, you have a top-down estimation, and as the name suggests, it breaks down the larger tasks into the very small work-based allocations, work breakdown structure. So you have a technique which is required when you have a good estimate of the various parts of a project as defined by the minute work breakdown structure. So you have a top-down where you're going down right down to the small work-based allocation. And this provides system level focus where entire project needs to be estimated in advance and past experience is used to ascertain that certain work-based structure items are likely to take certain amount of time. So I have broken it down into my work-based structure. I am aware of this work having been carried out in the past in the organization or in the industry, and I have a fairly clear idea in terms of how much time did this task take and how many people and how much manpower was required to get this task done and what was the costing involved. So it is relying a lot in terms of what has already been done based on the identified work breakdown to arrive at what my estimations are. Then you have a bottom-up estimation, which is logically just a reverse of your top-down, where each piece of work at task or component level is summed up into the larger project. And what happens here is that this is a very time-consuming project estimation, and information is only as good as you put in. So you are taking in the small tasks and you're adding them up to say, okay, all these small work breakdown tasks are going to eventually give me this larger project at hand. But it could be a very time consuming task in terms of arriving at that totality. So may not be the best structure to be going along with. Boss may not be the best or most prudent estimation structure. Then you have something called a Delphi technique, where you use experts. Now, the experts have certain knowledge in terms of what sort of estimation is going to be the best in terms of manpower, resources, etc. And this is based on, they are called experts because they have long experience and long-term knowledge, right? So, a Delphi technique works a lot based on information that experts provide. Now, one of the constraints or disadvantages of the Delphi technique is that it is only as good as the knowledge of the experts. So, it is highly subjective and requires a broad base before it becomes objective. And you have to keep in mind that you are entirely dependent on how good the expert is who's actually providing this information and based on whose estimation. Once we have chosen a certain expert to go along with, then we are really putting our faith in his credibility and his track record and his chances of being accurate in terms of the expert estimate that we are going with. Then you have a parametric estimation, which is using a lot of mathematical models to arrive at an estimation technique. And there are a lot of these models available. So whether you look at any industry, software industry, banking industry, there are software models available to estimate, I put in so much, I get so much at the end. To get so much at the end, I need to put in so much now. Likewise for software, these are the various parameters, manpower, man hours, billing hours, resources, budget, etc. I put in and this is what I get at the end. So there are a lot of these models which are available and are repeatable ways of running project objectives. So you can get some sort of estimate from there where you are probably not using so much of your own intuition to arrive at an estimation, but more in terms of you're reliable on these mathematical models to give you direction. Then you have a comparative analogy estimate where clearly, as the name suggests, comparative, you are relying on data from the past. How much was required in the past to do this, here, elsewhere. So you are going on data from the past to decide how much is going to be required and using that as a sample model to determine your resource allocation and estimation in the current scenario. And in software development, such components are often used because you can replicate what has already been successfully done in the past and estimates which have been successfully used in the past. So it is very, very common for software development. Then you have a three-point estimation, which is very interesting, which uses the best case scenario, the most likely scenario, and the worst case scenario. And you use these three scenarios, the best, most likely, and the worst case scenario, to arrive at a set of value. And you are trying to balance out the very inaccurate top in a higher way or in a bottom way. So you are trying to remove the peaks and you are trying to balance out, you know, I think this is a fairly good aggregate estimate of where I will be and where I need to be and how much resource do I need to have. And estimating the resources in our context is people required and it will be the staffing management plan, and this should also describe when and how the human resources will be brought on and taken off the project team. So when we spoke about the various stages of a project team, we spoke about forming as the first stage when the team members were brought in, and then we talked about adjourning as the final stage. So adjourning is when your team members were removed and when your project ended and everyone went back. So your staffing plan is not just about, I need 20 people for 6 months. What are the stages I need those 20 people in? Do I need those 20 people, all 20 on day one? Or do I need first 10 on day one? I need another 5 1 month down the line. I need the balance 5 2 months down the line. When do their tasks get over and when can they start going back? At the end of 6 months, what am I doing with these resources? How are they blending back into the various departments, or are they moving out of the organization, or what is it? So it is not just in terms of number and a concise time. There are phases and stages to everything which have to be kept in mind. In the meantime, how do I develop them? How do I work on them? All of that is also comes into the picture. Now, there is another estimation technique called the histogram, which uses bar charts and assigns things like time period, week, month, etc. to decide how this whole planning is going to be done, which is your histogram technique. And it is an invaluable tool for anticipating and managing project uncertainties or risks, because you're breaking it down over a very, very graded time period and a time horizon, and we can identify cost and schedule with relative precision, and it reduces the risk of running out of time and effort. An estimation is an invaluable tool at managing uncertainties or risks. We are constantly saying that we are in a changing environment. We are talking about risks. In the previous chapter, when we spoke about various stakeholders and various other people involved with the team, we spoke about risks, experts and analysts. So clearly, risk and uncertainty is a very real part. So estimation and accurately estimating and as closely estimating to the final outcome can be a very good way of smoothing out or reducing or diluting the impact of your risks and uncertainties. And we can try to identify our cost and schedule requirements with relative precision and reduce the risk of running out of time, resources and budgets during a project. And it is difficult to develop realistic predictions of our time and effort. And the reasons for our challenges with estimation are, now when we are saying it is difficult to develop realistic predictions, is we cannot have 100% bang on position estimation. We are trying to get as close to it, and obviously there are obstacles and challenges and changing dynamics which are creating challenges to estimation. And these could be the presence of hidden or unknown variables that are difficult or impossible to anticipate, and sometimes even difficult to resolve. So you got into a software development project, and then a competitor came out with something even before you did, of something similar nature, of a similar nature. You could not have anticipated that. Or you got into a software development plan and then your key resources quit and went. You had not anticipated that. You got into a software development plan for a certain country, for a certain industry, and the regulatory environment changed. So these are things which are beyond your control and very difficult to anticipate as well, and are often idealistic views on our own capabilities. We frequently believe that we can achieve much more than is possible in the available time. So I have these 20 resources. Given these 20 resources work for 9 hours per day in a 6-week work week environment or a 5 work week work day environment, I know that with this kind of productivity, I will have completed this task in 6 months. Now, humans being humans, there are highly productive days and there are unproductive days, and there are days when there is a lot of utilization being wasted. So things don't always work in a formula-driven capability environment. And there is a strong human desire to please others by telling them what they want to hear. After all, who wants to be the bearer of bad news? So I have to tell my eventual sponsor and stakeholder, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can do this in the budget that you have laid out to me, with the project charter and statement that you have laid out to me. Yes, I can do it, and I can do it with so many people at hand, with so much over this time frame, and with these resources, with this staffing plan, with this work breakdown structure. I have my clear estimate, and yes, I can deliver to you what you require. Who wants to get back and saying, sorry, not doable, we can't do this? So that is a very clear need and desire to estimate as accurately as possible. So there are certain things that we can do along the way which would help us a little bit in overcoming the shortcomings, and some ideas which could help improve the accuracy of our estimation. As we're constantly saying that we're not trying to get a 100% outcome, we are trying to be as accurate as possible, as close to the ideal situation as possible. So one of the things is that when we said that, you know, we have an idealistic view in terms of how much we can achieve given our capacity. Now, instead of working based on 9 hours, 5 days a week, which are the work hours, we could actually be using a record of actual hours. So instead of the scheduled hours, there is something called actual productive hours. So we go more by the actual hours rather than the scheduled hours, which would make our estimate as, so I have as close and accurate as possible. So if I have a 9 day working day, actually the productivity of actual hours worked is really 7 days, because 7 hours, because an hour goes into lunch and there are other breaks which happen, etc. So let me work on an actual hour basis. Then it would also be useful to be using a planning document while I'm at it. I should try to create as detailed a task analysis of the work which are to be performed. So instead of having just a large breakdown, when I'm going to my work breakdown structure or I'm doing my top-down structure, let me go to as minute a level as possible. Also, I could try and use more than one method to arrive at an estimate. So if I see that I'm getting a very aggressive estimate in one method and I'm getting an extremely conservative estimate in one method, then there is probably some discrepancy in my estimation and I should probably use another one or two methods which would help me to balance out and get a far more accurate estimate, because clearly there is something wrong if there is a huge divergence in the outcome of two different estimation techniques. I could try and use a complexity factor to see if my project is more or less complex. I should always have a system of assumptions, constraints, various other conditions being factored in. I should not have an idealistic, feel good, no obstacles kind of environment being used for my estimation. I should always incorporate constraints, caveats, assumptions, etc. to make my calculations as moderate and conservative as possible. Also, in the proposed budget schedule, if it seems inadequate to do work, propose adjusting upward or downward one or more of the four project scoping criteria: cost, schedule, quality, or feature. I should incorporate this, and I should consider simpler or more efficient ways to organize the work. I don't always have to go with the most complex way because it seems most glamorous or most thorough. Sometimes there are fairly simple and straightforward ways. When we have repeatedly spoken about the way things have been done elsewhere, data which has been used from the past, things which have successfully worked elsewhere in a simpler way, I should try and incorporate those. I don't have to constantly reinvent the wheel and go for new and complex and untried and not so simple methods. And also, I should plan and roll out my phases of my project right till the end, rather than not really having a plan right for the rollout right till the final stages, and then I'm scrambling at the end to try and reach that rollout. And in a really, really nebulous situation, I should have a phase-based approach where I have a clear demarcation that my first phase is very preoccupied with requirement gathering and estimation. So I'm not eating up that phase in a hurry to reach the delivery or the adjournment or performing an adjournment stages of my project. I should give enough due respect to the initial estimation stages of my project as well. And I should always have a contingency plan, and I should decide in terms of my deliverables, there will be certain things which I must have and I must focus on those. And for achieving those, this is my estimate. And there are certain things which are nice to have. These aspects of the tasks or the deliveries, it would be good to have, but if I don't have to have them, I don't get them, I could still live with them. So what is my estimation based on all of this? And also refer to your lessons learned, have a 2020 foresight, incorporate best practices from your own projects, your own organizations elsewhere, to have a most conservative and accurate estimation for your project plan. Now, some of the points of consideration is that planning requires both technical managers and software team to make an initial commitment. Of course, you cannot have a budget, you cannot have a manpower plan, you cannot have a training plan if you have a software project without the technical managers being involved. If you're a generalist, you're a business manager, you don't really have a fix on this. How will you be able to tell how much output can come from so many people in so many hours? What is the level of experience you need? What is the functional expertise you need? What is the level of seniority you need? So there are various aspects which only your technical managers in the software team can really help you to get a sight of, and you have to have them involved because they are the people who have the domain knowledge. Processes and project matrices can provide a historical perspective. Again, we are talking about things which have worked successfully in the past, tried and tested things, simpler things. So let's not lose sight of those. They can be very useful tools to have estimation work for us. And past experience, again, I'm repeating the same thing. Past experience is a very useful tool for what will work in the future and what will be the resource allocation for it to work in the future. So let's not forcibly reinvent the wheel just to do something new when we have something very easily and straightforward available to us. Estimation carries inherent risk, and this risk leads to uncertainty. That is why an estimation technique is required, or a mix of 3-4 estimation techniques is required, so that we are trying to dilute the impact of this risk and uncertainty as much as possible. We can never wish it away. There is no guarantee that we will even be able to dilute it. We are working on a best effort and knowledgeable basis to try and achieve that, which is why it might be a good idea that instead of using only one estimation technique, we are using a mix of 3 or 4. Hopefully, by using 3 or 4 techniques, we are being able to somewhere imbibe and incorporate all the risks and uncertainties and caveats and assumptions coming into play to give us a fairly accurate estimation technique, which will help us to overcome the risks and uncertainty, which may help us. And the availability of historical information has a strong estimation because what has happened in the past data, past expert knowledge, past budgeting, past costing, all these things come into play. Technical managers from the past, what has worked, what have they advised, all of these things work towards a more accurate estimation plan. And planners need to select the number and the kind of people and skills needed to compete. Again, we are talking not just about number, we are talking about kind of skill needed, seniority level, skill set, various costings involved, various functions involved. At certain level, I may not require a technical person. There are certain levels where only a very, very senior technical person can play the role. And they need to specify organizational and positional and job description for each person. Clearly, when I have a team of 20 people with senior technical analysts, with my quality control person, with my design architect, with my coders, with my programmers, with my logistical admin people, someone may be a peon, someone may be at a clerical level, I have to lay down all my roles and responsibilities. There will be defined tasks which will not overlap between various people. There are certain tasks which just don't overlap. So I have to make sure that those are laid down so there is a seamless functioning flow of activities happening. And this is very important in terms of a successful project management. And small projects of fewer persons or months may only need one individual. Sometimes there is a project where one person may act as a generalist. He's acting as a jack of all trades and he's managing to fulfill all the tasks at hand. And larger projects spanning many persons and months or years also require location of the person to be specified. So I have 20 people or I have 100 people working on a certain project. It is going to take 3 years to develop. It is going to take 2 years to develop. I have these 100 people working across 25 locations. I need to ensure they are at the location they are supposed to be. I have to figure out, am I relocating people? How are they going to communicate with each other? Am I going to have physical meetings? Am I going to have virtual meetings? All these little things need to be decided and laid out. And the number of people required can be determined only after an estimate of the development effort. I have to I will be able to arrive at the number of people only after the estimation effort. I can't say I need 100 people and now let me start the estimation effort. The need for the number of people, the level of people, the skills of the people is a result of the estimation effort. So in conclusion, by using a set of proactive estimation techniques, it is possible to improve your estimation practices, reduce or mitigate risk. Now please focus on the word mitigate risk. Mitigate means diluting the impact. Nowhere are we saying using the word wishing away risk, because it is practically impossible to wish away risk or uncertainty. You can only try to reduce the impact as much as possible, and you will try to greatly increase the project success rate. So this is the value of your estimation, and all good projects, and especially in the software development area, all your big projects, all your key projects, all your successful projects have been through a heavy brainstorming and estimation exercise before they have actually started rolling them out, even at the initial phases of the activity. So it's very important to have a very, very concise, formal estimation activity, and not just some arbitrary numbers floating into your head and working on the basis of that.